If you want to turn over there in your Bibles, we'll read a few verses and get started tonight. I appreciate this good number being out, and we've been now 89 lessons in the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 15. Brother Nathan, don't feel bad about calling it a funeral. We felt some mourning around the house. The only difference between a wedding and a funeral is you have about 3 days to plan a funeral and you have a year to plan a wedding. So there's a lot goes into both of them. Our school starts back this week. I meant to mention that. Victory starts back. So pray for all the students starting back. And then Kim gave me I don't think it's a cold. She gave me sinuses. She had it first. And we've been fighting that this week. So we desire your prayers on that account as well. We're going to finish up chapter number 15 tonight. And like I said, we've been in the book of Mark 89 lessons. Over 2 years we've been studying in the book of Mark. I don't think we'll make 100. We'll get into the 90s though. But we've been a long time now in the book of Mark. And there's so many good things that we have come across over the past couple years. Mark chapter 15, we're going to finish up verse number 39 down through verse number 47. And the Bible said in Mark 15 and verse 39, "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." We're going to try to get through all these verses tonight. And if I was just going to give a title to tonight's lesson, I would just call it this: the burial. And that's what this deals with. This deals with the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel is this. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Bible said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, last week we came down to the part where in verse number 37, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." And so we came last week to the very point where the Lord Jesus Christ died. He gave up the ghost, is what the Bible says. But for the Lord, for our Savior, there was no obituary. There was no meticulous care of his body. Usually when the Jews died, they had certain rituals, they had certain things in their embalming and their anointing and spices, and they took very good care of a dead body. But there's no time to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was done in a hurry. There was no care of his body like would normally take place. There was no service for him like we think about when somebody passes away. No gathering of the disciples together, no friends, no family, no last words, none of that for the Lord Jesus Christ. But all that was done according to the Scriptures. And that's what is important, that everything was done according to the Scriptures. Not only did Jesus die according to the Scriptures, but the Bible said that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything was done according to the Scriptures, meaning what was prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection, what was prophesied, it all came to pass, just like the Bible said that it would. And so that's what it means, according to the Scriptures. Now, there are four people, or four groups of people that we're going to look at tonight that had some relation to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at those four people, or actually that one of them is a group of people, the women, we're going to look at them. But we're going to look at these four people tonight and just point out some things about them, and we'll finish up chapter number 15. First of all, we'll look at verse number 39. And in verse number 39, we'll say this, first of all, a soldier witnessed what took place. Verse 39, and when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Now, you talk about somebody having a front row seat. This soldier and other soldiers as well, they were there the whole time. There are others that were coming and going. Pilate was there, and if you'll remember last time or time before, it was Pilate that put the inscription above the Lord Jesus Christ. But Pilate didn't stay out there all day long. And the disciples, some of them, no doubt, passed by, were around, but we have no record that they stayed out there the whole time. But what I'm saying tonight, the soldier was there for the whole gruesome ordeal and saw everything that took place from the beginning until the very end. He saw it all. And when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened with him and the events around him, there was nobody that they'd ever saw crucified that was crucified in the manner that the Lord Jesus Christ was. And I pointed out some of these things on Sunday morning. I'm not going to go back over all the things that I've already said, but he witnessed some things on that day that was unlike anybody that had ever been crucified before. He witnessed, first of all, the laying down of his life. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ lay down his life. We said that when the Lord was crucified, most people, they would fight, they would resist. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 10:18 about his own life, he said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. We might say the Jews crucified the Lord. We might say the Romans crucified the Lord. But the Lord laid down his life of his own self. He literally gave his life for us. And so as the Roman soldier would have witnessed that, he would have noticed there's something different about him. There's something different about this. There was the laying down of his life. There was the loving of his enemies. Now, we're not going to go back over this again, but in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 34, it talks about the Roman soldiers and how they gambled or they cast lots for his garments. And what did the Lord Jesus say about that from the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so, do you think the Roman soldiers would have ever seen anybody be crucified? I'm sure they'd heard a lot of things. I'm sure that they'd been yelled at, cursed at, everything else under the sun. But now, this man that was crucified prayed to God and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, you think that Roman soldier got saved?
Do you think the Lord Jesus can pray to God and say, Father, forgive them, and him not be saved? He prayed for them to be saved. He prayed for them to be forgiven. And I believe they were forgiven. And I'll show you that. It wasn't just one Roman soldier, but there were others there. And the Lord said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were acting in ignorance. At first, they did not realize who this man was, the Lord Jesus Christ. And something else that he witnessed that the book of Mark does not record, but he also would have witnessed the leading of one to himself. And what I'm talking about, there were three men crucified on that day, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle, and then there was the two thieves, one on either side, one on the right, one on the left. And at first, they both reviled him, meaning that they mocked him, that they made fun of him along with everybody else. Save yourself. You've saved others. You can't even save your own self. But later on that day, one of those prisoners, one of those thieves recognized something different about the Lord Jesus, and he talked to the Lord. He began to talk to the Lord. And some of the things he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to him? The Lord didn't say, you know, hey, you didn't want anything to do with me a little while ago. That's not how the Lord reacted to him. The Lord led him to himself, and the Lord said this, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so that man on the cross, that one thief on the cross that recognized, he said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he said, I deserve to die on the cross, but not him. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so that one thief on the cross, he was saved. When he died, he didn't go to hell. He went to paradise. And let me say about that thief on the cross, he didn't join a church, did he? He didn't have time to be baptized, did he? He didn't have time to do any good works. He didn't even have time to go and tell the people that he had stolen from, hey, I'm sorry I done this. That is a good picture of the grace of God. That's how we're saved, by the grace of God. Not by our own works, but by the grace of God. And so this Roman soldier, he witnessed all these things. He witnessed, and we talked about this last week, he witnessed the sixth to the ninth hour, where the Bible says there was darkness over all the land. And he witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ saying, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And he witnessed that at that point the sun began to shine again. The lights came back on. But something that Luke does not record, but Matthew records, is that there was also an earthquake at that time. Amen. So there's a lot went on when Jesus was there upon the cross. Matthew 27 in verse 54, the Bible says, now when the centurion and they that were with him, so there were others with him that witnessed this same thing, and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And so it wasn't just that one Roman soldier. But I believe many of those Roman soldiers were saved on that day. They said collectively together, truly this was the Son of God. And so we see, first of all, there was a soldier that witnessed these things. And we'll see that he comes into play again in just a few verses. But not only was there a soldier that witnessed, number two, there were women who watched. Now look in verses 40 and 41. The Bible said there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Now this speaks very highly of the women. They were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they remained throughout the day. Now, the disciples were gone all the way back in chapter 14, verse 50. You know, we've been in this several weeks now. The disciples, and it says over there in chapter 14 and verse number 50, it says this, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. So they've been gone a long time ago now. This is late the next day. The disciples forsook him and fled the night before. But the women are there, and the Bible says about the women, it says that they, in chapter number 15 and verse number 40, there were also women looking on afar off. They've been watching the whole thing. Now they've been watching from a distance, but they've been there. Now the Bible says they all forsook him and fled, and that's talking about the disciples. But there was at least one disciple that followed the Lord Jesus, you know, Peter. And he followed him into the palace there. And then they begin to question him and say, you know, aren't you one of them? Aren't you one of them disciples? And you remember he denied the Lord. He denied the Lord one time. He denied the Lord two times. And finally he denied the Lord. And the Bible said that he cursed and said, I don't know him. And so all the other disciples forsook him and fled. Peter followed after him, but he denied the Lord. It would probably been better if he hadn't even been there, if he's going to end up just denying the Lord. But now the ladies were there the whole time. And I say this and I point that out to point out this about the ladies. That, do you know, the ladies are the only ones that saw all three significant events. The ladies saw the death. The ladies saw the burial, and the ladies saw the resurrection. None of the disciples seen that. Nobody else seen that, but the ladies were present. And so that speaks very highly of them. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because I don't want to go into it right now. But if you notice in chapter 16, verse number 1, look what the Bible says. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And so they were the first ones there. And they were the first ones to see the empty tomb. And so the faithfulness of these ladies, you know, sometimes we might think about, well, you know, the preacher's preaching and it's always talking about the men. But you know, the women are in there too. And they're very, very important. And many times their faithfulness outshines the men. And so here's these ladies, and they are there. And they witness the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just point out some things about them. These ladies were not strangers. These ladies knew the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew him well. They were what we might say the lady followers. That's what the Bible says in verse number 41. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered to him. They were followers. They were servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew him well. It's not describing strangers here. But they knew who it was on the cross. They knew that was Jesus that was dying upon the cross. They saw what happened. They saw the crucifixion. They saw Jesus nailed to the cross. They saw the blood. They saw all the stuff. Even though it was from, the Bible says, afar off, they saw these things. And I've said this many times before. It's not the little pictures that you see of a little blood here and a little blood there. It's a horrible, gruesome mess when Jesus hung upon the cross of Calvary. And when the ladies came in chapter number 16 and verse number 1, where we said that they had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ die upon the cross of Calvary, and they fully believed that when they went to the tomb that he was going to be there. If you'd saw the Lord Jesus Christ die like they had just saw him die, they expected him to be in that tomb when they came. They came prepared. They had went out and bought, the Bible says, they bought spices. They came prepared to anoint his body and take care of his body and do the things that had not there had not been time to do when they did bury the Lord Jesus. And also they saw where he was buried. If you look at down in verse number 47, the Bible said, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. They saw where they buried the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are all kind of critics concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've all been answered hundreds of thousands of times down through the year, but you'll hear the same old thing. You'll hear, Jesus didn't really die on the cross, he just swooned. Meaning he just passed out. And you know that he come to 3 days later. But I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. The ladies saw it, the women saw it, the soldiers saw it and testified to it. Joseph of Arimathea took his body down. Pilate, he made sure. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. I have heard people say, well, they just got confused and they went to the wrong tomb. This wasn't one of those cemeteries. Have you ever passed by one of those cemeteries? It looks like there's 1,000 people buried out there. I could see getting lost in there. But if you really study about where the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, he was not buried in a public cemetery. He was buried in a man's backyard. He was buried in a man's own personal tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, it was his tomb in the back of his house where he lived. It was his own tomb. That's why we refer to the tomb of the Lord Jesus as being a borrowed tomb. He wasn't there but just for 3 days and three nights. And he didn't need it anymore. But it's the most famous grave in the whole wide world, and it doesn't even have anybody in it. They knew where the tomb was. They went back there on the 3 days later. And so they saw these things. They knew where he was buried, and they are a very important part of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one of the last people we see. And they're the first people we see after the resurrection in chapter number 16. And so we see the ladies there. We see the women who watched. Number three, we see the man who worked. Now, who I'm talking about now is this man named Joseph of Arimathea. And we begin talking about him in verse number 42. We find the man who worked, and the man who worked, worked hurriedly. If you look in verse 42, the Bible says, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now, what was going on? What's this talking about in verse number 42? Jesus died at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. And so everything that takes place in these verses takes place in 3 hours, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock at night. That's how we would put it. That's how we would say it. They call it the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 12th hour, all like that. But he had to work very hurriedly. Keep your place here. Look over in John chapter 19. There's just a few verses over there that I want to read that are very important dealing what we're talking about here. Why did he have to work so hurriedly? John chapter number 19, and I'm going to be reading in verse number 31. John chapter 19 and verse number 31. The Bible said, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an high day. Now, I'm not going to get all into this tonight, but during the 3 days and the three nights, there was actually two Sabbath days. And the Jews did not work on the Sabbath days. And they didn't want a dead body hanging out in the open on a Sabbath day. And what they wanted more than anything else, they wanted to get this business of crucifying Christ over with, buried, done, forgot about. And so the Jews come to Pilate and they want to rush job on this. And so that's what is going on in verse 31. For that Sabbath day was an high day. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Why did he do that? To make sure that he was dead. Pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And so John refers back to two places in the Old Testament that were fulfilled. One, a bone of him shall not be broken. Another, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Talking about the soldier piercing his side. And so Joseph of Arimathea had to work very hurriedly to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, the preparing for the Sabbath day, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And so the Jews came to Pilate and they said, we have a religious holiday coming up. We got to get done with this business. Break their legs so they're dead and we can take these bodies away. That's what they did. You know, religious people sometimes are some of the hard-hearted, meanest people in the whole wide world. What were they saying? We've murdered this guy and we'd sure like for him to be buried, because we have a holiday tomorrow. We're going to worship God tomorrow. So we've killed a man today, but we're going to worship the Lord tomorrow. And we'd like for this all to be done and tidied up and gotten rid of. So between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m, that's all the time Joseph had to bury the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked hurriedly. Going back into the book of Mark, chapter number 15, not only did he work hurriedly, but he worked heroically. Now, can you imagine coming out as a disciple right now? I mean, Jesus has just been crucified. Who is going to come along and say, I will be associated with this man, Jesus Christ? Joseph does. Joseph works heroically. And so we look in verse number 43. What does the Bible say? Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. And in the book of Matthew, it says that Joseph was a disciple. So he didn't just get on the bandwagon in the past 30 minutes. He's been following the Lord. And he sees what is going on. This is happening very close to his house. The Bible said that he came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He went in boldly. And so time is of the essence. And he knows that, he's also a Jew. He's also a counselor, which means that he is very familiar with the Jewish religion. And he knows about the high day and the Sabbath day and all of these things. And so he wastes no time. And he goes into Pilate and he begs, he craves the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not only important because of the Jews and their religion, but it is more important that the Lord Jesus Christ be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. And so Jesus has to be buried before that day starts. And so Joseph is working here. He is a disciple of the Lord. He has associated himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And without fear, he goes in and the Bible says that he craved the body of Jesus, which means he begged Pilate to let this thing be done. And then in verse number 46, we're going to skip on down. Not only does he work heroically, but he works heedfully as well. Verse 46, the Bible says, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And so Joseph, with as much care and respect and honor as possible under the circumstances, he did what he could. He did what he could under those circumstances. But the Lord Jesus was not embalmed. He was just wrapped in cloth. See, they would normally take a body out and they would prepare that body. But the Lord Jesus was just wrapped in linen. And we'll see that that's significant a little bit later on. Look back in Matthew chapter 27. There's some verses over there that I wanted to read. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 57 through verse number 61. And we learn a little bit more about Joseph over here. And some I've already said, but I wanted to read it and share it with you tonight. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 9. And so Matthew chapter 27 and verse 57, the Bible said, when the even was come, there came a rich man. Now that's significant. Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible says that he was a rich man. And this is what I'm going to point out. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. The Bible said, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now all the rest had forsook him and fled. But Joseph comes when he needs to come. And he's not ashamed to do that. Verse 58 says, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now in your King James Bible, it's got a built-in dictionary. You might read over in Mark and say, what does it mean he craved the body of Jesus? Well, if you compare Scripture to Scripture, what it literally means, it means he begged. He begged Pilate. So Matthew says he begged. Mark says that he craved. And so how do we study the Bible? We compare Scripture with Scripture, and we get a fuller picture of what is going on. And so the Bible says that he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb. That's how we know that it was Joseph's tomb. And Joseph was a rich man. And he put the body of the Lord Jesus in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. The Bible said he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He was crucified between two thieves. His grave, his death was associated with the wicked and with the rich man. His grave was actually a rich man's tomb. And so we see a man who worked in Mark chapter number 15. And then we come back to Mark chapter number 15. The fourth thing we see tonight, there's a ruler who wondered. A ruler who wondered, and we're talking about Pilate in verses 44 and verse number 45. And the Bible said, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead. So Joseph came, and he begged the body of Jesus. He had heard that he had died. He had seen that he had died. And he goes into Pilate boldly, and he says, give me the body of Jesus. I want to take his body and bury it. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. What's that mean? He marveled. He was surprised. Is it, you mean to tell me he's already dead? Now, crucifixion always resulted in death. But it was not a quick death. It was a long, agonizing, painful. It was designed to be as excruciating and painful a death as could be inflicted upon a person. You know, we have laws in our land against cruel and unusual punishment. You couldn't take somebody out under our law system and crucify them. You couldn't even, if somebody had the death sentence passed upon them, the laws are designed for it to be as merciful and quick and painless as possible. That's how our laws are designed. We have laws against cruel and unusual punishment, but a crucifixion was designed to be cruel and to be painful and to take a long, long time. And so Pilate, he knows about the crucifixion business. And he knows that it's unusual for somebody to die in only 6 hours. And he was surprised at that. And so he sends, we find. And I've already read this in John chapter 19. I'm not going to go back and read it again. But what I read over there in John 19, verses 32 through 36, and the Jews came and they said, can we get this business over with? And the soldiers came, and when they came to the thieves, they were not dead. And so what did they do? They break their legs. And that's how they would hurry up death upon the cross. Now, they're already in so much pain that they're about to die, but the breaking of the legs, it caused such a shock that it would kill somebody. And you think, what a horrible thing. Now, I cannot stand to see anybody suffer. I can't stand to see these television shows that are really real looking and somebody in a car accident or something like that. It just kills me. I mean, I just can't watch that. And if somebody can, I mean, you're just made out of something different than me. But I can't stand to see somebody suffer. I can't imagine in my mind for somebody to be hanging there on a cross and they're not dead, and you come by and you break their legs. That's what they did. They break the legs of the first two, and it killed them. But when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 19, they saw that he was already dead. And so that's when the soldier took the spear and pierced his side. Blood and water came out, and that's a medical assurance of somebody being dead when their blood and their water, the water in their blood separates. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was dead upon the cross. They did not break any of his bones. Amen. And that also is in accordance with the scriptures. Psalms 34 and verse number 20, the Bible says this: he keepeth all his bones, not a one of them is broken. And so the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were not broken. Now, if you go back to Exodus chapter number 12 and you read about the Passover lamb, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. If they had came and broke his legs, the scripture would have been broken. Amen. When they came, they did not break his legs. The Passover lamb, they were to keep it in. They were to watch it. They were to make sure that it had not a blemish, not a spot, not a limp, not a problem in its body. It had to be healthy. And they were to roast that, and they were to burn that, and they were to partake of that Passover lamb, and they were to apply its blood to the doorposts and all of that. But it says about the Passover lamb not to break any of its bones. See, the Lord Jesus was our Passover lamb. He died upon the cross for our sins as our Passover. so the wrath of God would pass over us. And so we find back in Mark chapter number 15 about Pilate, that we see that Pilate, the ruler who was surprised. And then we see that he was sure as well. He made sure the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. In verse 44, the Bible said Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Now the Roman soldier saw death every day. He knew what it was. He knew what it looked like. He knew if a person was dead, if they were still living. And so Pilate called the centurion. I believe that's the centurion of verse 39. He saw the spear. He saw the blood. He saw the water. And Pilate called him. Pilate made sure that the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. He called in an expert witness. And the soldier had seen it all. He had heard it all. And he knew that Jesus was dead upon the cross. And so Pilate was sure. And number three, and last of all, he finally surrendered the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 45, the Bible said, and when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And so when Pilate was sure that Jesus was dead, he gave the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to Joseph. And he surrendered that up. And so we see Pilate now. We've saw Pilate all the way through this. Pilate was one of the first ones they went to. Well, they had the trial at the Sanhedrin, then they went to Cephas, then they went to Pilate. And Pilate sent him away, and here they sent him back. And Pilate's had to deal with this whole thing all day long. And I imagine in my mind that Pilate is glad to get rid of Jesus, don't you think? He's tried all day long to get rid of him. He's washed his hands of him. He's told the Jews, I find no fault in him. He tried to deliver him and they wouldn't have it. And he gave in to the crowd. And finally he said, okay, go ahead. Crucify him. They were yelling at him, crucify him, crucify him. He tried to give Barabbas in place of the Lord Jesus, or Jesus in place of Barabbas. He's tried all day long to get rid of him. And so now, finally, don't you think, you want the body of Jesus? You sure can have it. It's been a long day in Pilate's life. But he would never be able to undo that day. He would never be able to undo the actions that he took with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would never be able to forget his conversation with the Lord Jesus where he said, what is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. And once you are confronted with truth, do you know that you cannot easily get rid of it? You just can't wash your hands of truth. Once you hear truth, once you're confronted with truth, you have to do something with it. And that there'll never be any peace until you do. Amen. Now, I don't think Pilate ever got saved. If he did, the Bible does not say. Pilate never got rid of the Lord Jesus. But look how many times he tried. You want the body? You take the body. I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm tired of hearing about this. His wife came and said, have nothing to do with this just man. I've been troubled last night. I couldn't sleep. I had dreams about him. Don't have anything. And he tried and he tried and he tried to get rid of. We'll not go there tonight. But if we read and we study along in the Bible, you'll find out that Pilate gave the body to Joseph. Do you know the next morning who was in his office? Them Jews are back. What did they want? We heard him say that he'd get up out of the grave. We're talking about a dead man now. Just look at that from a human standpoint. And here they come and they say, we heard him say he would get up from the grave. The disciples didn't understand. They didn't believe, but the unbelievers did. And so Pilate's got to make a decision again. And he gave them a watch, which means he gave them I forget the word for it now, but some Roman soldiers. go ahead, you have your watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. Send some of my soldiers out there to guard the tomb of a dead man. See, that sounds just ridiculous. But it wasn't just any man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do you think maybe Pilate thought to himself, maybe that'll be it. Maybe we'll just send him out there. And them soldiers can stay a few days till all of this sort of blows over and life can get back to normal and I can forget about all this. But you know, 3 days later, news come again. He's not there. He's not there. That's the word. And here's this Jesus. He's never going to get rid of him. Amen. You cannot never get rid of the truth once it's really been presented to you. And Pilate is a good example of that. You've got to do something with the truth. And so we find Pilate, last of all, he wants to get rid of that body. He grants it. He gives it to Joseph. But we're not done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's a chapter 16. Isn't that a blessing? You know, if that was a chapter of anybody else in the whole wide world, we'd close our Bibles. We'd close our books. We'd say, you know, that's a pretty good story. I didn't think it's going to end like that. I didn't think they'd crucify him. He's a good man. He went about doing good, but they crucified him. But we're not closing the book yet. There's another chapter. And it's the best one in the whole book. Amen. And so, Lord willing, next week we'll...